Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. This is where we're going to finish today, Lord willing, that a study that we've called the church in today's culture, or the church today. And we've been talking about a lot of different things. We talked about the different generations and who to minister to and how to minister to and all the different ways things look. And we said that there are two words to remember, form and function. The function is what we do. The form is how we do it. The function does not change. That is to make disciples and equip the saints and do the ministry and all that. But the forms may change how we do it. And we've known over the years that things have changed. And I can still remember, if you go back 30-something years ago when I was at Emmanuel in Starkville, Mississippi, everybody had bus ministries. That was the way to do ministry to reach children. People don't do bus ministry anymore. That's changed. Music has changed. Back in those days, it was hymn number 364, first stanza, second stanza, always skip the third stanza and sing the fourth stanza. That's the way it was, wasn't it? I mean, things have changed. So ministry and the way people do things may change, but what we do does not change our ministry and our message. We'll see that as we go through, as we finish today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for this time that you have allowed us to come together and to be a part of a Sunday school class. Lord, I thank you that I get to be in this class. I love it. Thank you, Lord, as we look today at the church and we think about our culture and we think about how to reach people. Lord, that's our goal, is to be faithful, to touch lives for Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember last week I said that I get something in the mail or email almost every day on how to do ministry now, on how we do ministry and how things have changed. And I mentioned last week that there are all these different programs and all these different ways of doing things, but what you find left out is the Word of God. They never talk about the Word of God. They talk about you got to be able to do this and you'll get people coming, but it doesn't talk about the Bible much. You know, we've gone through, we've already had these overheads up for a while, and we've talked about, we looked at the church and we looked at the people and the plan, and we looked at the process where we talked about attracting people, enlisting people, connecting people and all of that. And we said, in fact, toward the end, I think I've got the slide. Let's put that one up first. I think the foundation for how we do ministry, which doesn't change. Now, how the way we do it and different aspects of it may change, but the bottom line function is it goes back to the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the worship of God. Those three things. We talked about it last time. The Word of God is the key. It's alive and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. Never comes back void. Accomplishes its purpose. It's profitable for teaching, correction, for training, instruction, and righteousness. Over and over, we see that the Word of God is the key. If a church is not founded on the Word of God, there's nothing going to happen. Now, there are a lot of churches that are growing churches with numbers and people and programs and plans, but they are not founded on the Word of God. You got people going, you got people all happy, but they're not growing as believers because the Word of God's not taught. And so it may look good humanly speaking, but it's not good biblically speaking. It has to be the Word. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, people can do a lot of things in the flesh. You can do a lot of good things in the flesh. But it's the Word, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the key. And the ultimate plan is the worship of God. We talked about this a little bit last week, and I think we actually ended with that. And then we went to, I think the next slide is the problems. Let's see. Yeah, go ahead and through those. That's the three things we talked about last time. Thanks for putting that up. Go on to the next one. I think it's the problem. Yeah, the church and the problems. And here's what we talked about last week. I just want to bring this up so we can think about it. We said there's the culture and the community. The culture has changed so much that what things are like right now are so different than they were even 15 to 20 years ago. I came to Countryside in July of 85, and the campus is different now. I really didn't go on the campus till about 1987, and we started having college students come in 87, 88, and then we started having a lot of college students come. And I want you to know that what we're seeing, what I saw and how I related to college students in 88, 89, 90 is totally different than today. And what a college student wanted in 88, 89, 90, 91 is different than what they want today. It's a different culture. It's a different way to look at things. We talked about the different generations, Generation X and Generation Next and all of those kind of things. And we live as a whole in a culture, we talked about this last week, that is a consumer culture. And that we look at things and we say our needs are more important than loyalty. I mean, people aren't loyal to very many things, because if something doesn't do what they want to do, they'll just switch to something else. And that's include churches, it includes jobs, it includes anything. I read that quote last week from the consumer mentality. I think that this quote says, Americans treat every commitment. Now listen carefully. Americans treat every commitment from marriage, work, politics, not as a moral obligation, but as instruments of personal happiness. So if our marriage doesn't make make us happy, we're out. If our job doesn't make us happy, we're out. If our church doesn't make us happy, we're out. And then we said that there's no community. I mean, there are communities, but not centered around what you see in the Scripture. If you look at Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in what things? The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. When the church gathered together, there were four things that formed the community of the church. The first was the apostles' doctrine, which meant the teaching of the Word of God. They gathered together, centered around for the purpose of understanding and applying the Word of God. A lot of people say, what's your church got to offer? And we say, well, we teach the Bible. No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, what kind of programs do you have? See what I'm saying? Our culture today is not centered around, the biblical culture is not centered around the teaching of the Word of God. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship. When we say the word fellowship, we think of eating together. That Greek word koinonia means a common unity in purpose. They gathered together for the teaching of the Word of God, a common unity and purpose. And then it said, breaking of bread and prayers. Breaking of bread meant two things. It meant observance of the Lord's Supper. They gathered together to observe the Lord's Supper. We'll do that tonight. And they're also breaking of bread meant to eat together. That's the idea of fellowship, of getting together with fellow believers. And then the last thing was prayer. So if somebody said, what's the church supposed to be characterized by? We would say it'd be characterized by the teaching of the Word of God, a unity of purpose, a remembrance of the ordinances of God, which would be baptism, Lord's Supper, but Lord's Supper is the one that they emphasize there, and fellowshipping with each other, and then finally praying. But how many people have that as the four things they look for when they look for in a church? It wouldn't be that. Our culture today says, what do you have to offer? I remember when the church started to grow. You remember we had the little building over there. And the first time it started to grow, we didn't know really what to do. It started growing. It grew so fast. We went, of course, to double services, and it grew faster than that. So we didn't have any classrooms. So we had to get, we tried everything we could do. We ended up having to get some trailers, and we put trailers out front while we got ready to build on that first section. Some of you were there. We're here. And I remember people would come up to me and say, you know, we've considered coming to Countryside. When y'all get rid of those trailers, we'll probably come. And I'd go, well, the reason we have to have the trailers is because people have come. But we, when you get rid of them, we might consider coming. People look, and the culture changes. And what do people look for, and what do they want? The community is not built around shared doctrines, but around programs and events. Let me tell you something that I've seen. This is not even part of this, but there's something that I noticed. And you may have been involved in this. What I see in the Christian community is the Christian community as a whole believes that ministry is done in big events. We'll have a big event. We'll have a speaker come in, and let's get all the churches together. I get calls all the time from pastors wanting to unite together to do a particular ministry. The problem is we don't have the same message. I can't unite with some people who say you have to be baptized to be saved, or that the message of salvation is so unclear. Who's going to do the speaking in this thing? Who's going to make sure that the message is clear? I mean, let me tell you, people consider that what you do is you have a big event, bring everybody together, and that's how ministry happens. Let me tell you, ministry happens just like we talked about in the first service. It happens day after day, moment by moment, being faithful to make disciples. Whereas we're going to talk about it in just a second, we gather and we scatter. And when we gather and scatter, we're going to do ministry. As we gather, we do ministry. As we scatter, we evangelize. All of that happens not in a big event, but in day after day after day. You're being faithful. And that's what I see all the time. People say, they'll call me, JB, we're going to try to get all the churches together to do this. I'm going to be honest. It was about, well, how many years ago was it? 10 or 12, 15 years ago that we had the Louis Palau thing. Anybody here when the Louis Palau thing happened? We got together the churches in town to do that, spent $122,000 to have Louis Palau speak for 4 nights. And only one night did he give the gospel, and that was on the night that the churches came. I was very disappointed. And people said, we got to get somebody here and this will reach this community for Christ. Well, the first 3 nights, there was no gospel presentation given whatsoever. It didn't reach that community. It didn't do it. $100,000. Let me tell you, we'd done much better. Take $100,000 and do something else with it and encourage every believer as we scatter in this community to make a difference for Christ. That's where it's all done. It's done day after day. So the community, with the problems of the culture and the community, that takes us to the last thing, which is the proposal. I don't have any other slides, do I? Okay. The proposal, I call it the gathered and the scattered. And you've heard me talk about this before. If you were to come to the membership training in a little more than an hour and a half, if you come to that thing, you'll find out that we talk about the philosophy of ministry in our church is gathered and scattered. We gather for worship and training. We scatter for evangelism and service. That's the things. So let's talk about it for just a second. We gather for worship and training. And when we come together, we've come together for this twofold purpose. It is to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is to be trained and equipped so that when we scatter, we can take the message of Christ into this community and we can use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us to touch lives for Christ. So it's gathering and scattering. And it doesn't matter what forms we use, the function is to gather and worship and be trained by the teaching of the Word of God, and the scattering, whatever different methods and ways we want to do it, as we scatter this community, it is to evangelize and train. Let's talk about Sunday morning for a second. You remember we went back to some of the ways that we want to be attracting people and attractive to people. Let's think about the gathering. Let's think about a Sunday morning. And what do we want when people come here? What do we want on today? We want it to look good. We talked about the building looking good, things being pretty and clean and well kept up, and we want to be friendly. And you know, it's amazing to see all these people as they come to the door. There's somebody shaking hands, and then they come to the next door, and there's somebody else shaking hands, and there's somebody saying there's coffee right over there, and there's this. You know, that makes a huge impact. We already know, and we've talked about this. People come, 93% of people come to a church. 93% say they came because somebody invited them to come. So we want people to come. You're going to have to invite them. And when we get them here on a Sunday morning, we are gathering. Now, we're gathering to worship and to be trained. But when we gather, we're going to greet them, and we're going to give them information. We want everything that we do. Let me tell you, let's think about this. We're talking about our church. The things that we do need to be done well. If somebody's going to sing, they need to be able to sing. They do. I mean, we all say, well, they got a heart for God. Let them sing. Listen, let them do something else for God. If they can't sing, don't let them sing. If they can't play, don't let them play. I mean, up here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about out here. You can't help it. Just do the best you can, you know. We all can sing out here. I'm talking about if the things that we do up front, especially. It's got to be done well. Our culture expects things to be done well. If they go to a store and it's not like they like it, they'll walk out. If they go to a church and it's not done well, they will walk out. We want to do things well. We want to do things with excellence. That means our PowerPoint, our sound, our music, our everything. Think about our music. I love our music. I think there's the combination of hymns and choruses. And our culture, it's as you notice, things continue to move more and more toward different kinds of music. If you go back to... I tell you, if you could go back to 1986... our music, we had a hymnal. Everybody had hymnals. We had a piano. Most people had organs and pianos. And they would say, turn to hymn number 363. We're going to sing the first, second, and the fourth stanza. We'll stand, then we'll sit down, and then we'll say, that song is over. And we go, thank you so much. Now turn to hymn number 478. And did you know today, that won't work. It'll work for some. It'll work for some who grew up with it. But for the people who never had that, they will say, this is dry. This is boring me to death. They want to sing, and they want to keep singing. They want to praise, and they want to worship. And our younger culture believes and thinks that worship is emotions. They think that. Worship has emotion with it, but worship's not emotions, but our younger culture thinks that it is. And if they don't feel emotion, they don't think they've worshiped. And so, three stanzas from a hymn is not reaching their emotions, and they say, I can't worship there, I'm so sorry. There's a combination. We want to have the great old hymns as well, but we've got to be able to reach this next generation coming. That's our goal. That's our goal. The teaching ought to be good. It better be good. And it ought to be expository teaching. It ought to be teaching the Word of God. Let me tell you how things have changed. I came here in July of 85. We would start off with announcements. Actually, we'd start off with a song and then another song, and then we'd do announcements, and then we'd do another song and another song. And by that time, and that day, we started church at 11. We only had one service. Well, when you have 11 people, you can get them all in the same thing. So you had a song, announcements, a song, and then at 11:15, which is after those four songs and announcements, I got up to speak, and that's how long I spoke. 45 minutes. I don't speak 45 minutes anymore. I barely get 30 minutes. Sometimes I look up there, and I only have 26 minutes. That's why I talk faster now than I used to. Yeah. But see, our culture is so ingrained that you watch something for 8 minutes and then there's a commercial. And our culture is so visual. And everything's got to be something flashy that 45 straight minutes, unless it's something they're really tuned in on, they can't sit there anymore. You can. Some of them can't. Now, I have a 2-2 class that I teach. It starts at 6:30, goes to 8 o'clock. I have the first 15 minutes of an exam. And then from 7:45 to 8 o'clock, up 6:45 to 8 o'clock, we nonstop. People sit there, they take notes. They never even think about the time. But church is a little bit different. So we need to teach. And we need to teach with visuals. We need to teach the truth of God's Word in as an attractive way as possible. We gather. So not only on a Sunday morning do we gather in a big group, but we gather in small groups. I think small groups is the key in ministry. We've got all the Sunday school classes built around small groups. This one's not a small group, but it's. I love this class, and I'm glad we're in here. But we want to have interaction, and that's why weekly. That's why throughout this church, throughout the week, at different times and all kind of times, we want to have people gather together in small groups. And when you gather together for worship and training. We've come together to focus on our Savior and to be taught and understand the Word of God. And that's why Ephesians 4, I told you to go ahead and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, or the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's the key. The key is we meet together in small groups to equip one another to do ministry. That's why we call it the 4:12 Foundation class. If you've never had the 4:12 Foundations, you ought to have it. It's the foundational truths that you need. They're not baby truths, they're foundational truths. If you've been a Christian for 20 years, you say, I don't need that. Yes, you do. You need the foundational truths. Even if you know them all, you need to be reminded of them again. We need to be taught them over and over so that we can understand them. And we got all our small groups, and then we've got the 2-2 class, and we've got spiritual growth things and all of these things. And we got leadership, and we got fellowships, and we got women's studies and college studies and men's studies and youth studies. And that's the goal, is to bring us together in small groups because you become accountable in small groups. We gather in small groups. To be accountable, to know. I mean, I've got a group that meets on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and of course Friday morning is a class that I teach, a different class. But the Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, man, we're memorizing verses, and we're accountable. And when it comes up, I go, okay, who's ready today? Well, you got to say them in front of the guys, and we're accountable to learn them and to memorize them and to be ready. There's an accountability there, and that happens in small groups. So we gather for worship and training and all of these things. There's an aspect of gathering that deals with the fellowships. Remember, they continued in the Apostles' Doctrine Fellowship, which is unity of purpose, breaking of bread, which is Lord's Supper, and what we'd call fellowships today, eating together. We got Wednesday night meal. If you haven't come to Wednesday night meal, you ought to come. Wednesday night meal is incredible. It starts about 5:30 now. In fact, so many people are coming now. We used to start it at 5:45 and go to 6:45, but we got so many people coming now, we've moved the time back to 5:30 so we can get more people in there. Meals are great, but what's so great about the meals is you get the food and you sit down and there's people and you're eating and talking and laughing and you look up and go, oh, it's time for class, time for church. Do we want to go? Yeah, well, okay, well, I guess we will. But anyway, that's how it is. It's so fun. And I say, I don't want to go. And they say, you're teaching. You got to go. Okay, I will. I will. But then there's the scattered. We gather for worship and training, but we scatter for evangelism and service. And we go out with the message of Christ. That's why it's so important. Every one of us in this room, you should be able to share your faith. You should be able to say, okay, I can go to the place in the Bible where it talks about we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and whoever believes as he, you know, just go through the stuff. Know how to share your faith. Know what we call bad news, good news, or the bridge, or be able to give you testimony, those kind of things. Be ready. And as we go out, we use the gifts, talents, and ability to touch lives. Not only believers, but unbelievers as well. We're going to reach the culture. We come here. We worship. We grow. We're trained. We scatter. And evangelism is not done by one guy on the Sunday morning. Evangelism is done by every one of us as we scatter in this community. You have your sphere of influence. They won't listen to me. They'll listen to you. That's what we do. I think about meeting needs, and there's direct needs. I think about things like meals and money and counseling and premarital counseling and marriage counseling and food and all of those things. That way we minister to people. And then there's the idea of encouragement, that we stay in touch with each other. If there's somebody that you know and you haven't seen them lately, or you, it's okay to call them and say, are you okay? Everything okay? We've got ministry teams. We divided the church into 14 different ministry teams. The question would be, which ministry team are you on? Where are you using the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have? There is a ministry that I want you to understand that a lot of times people say things like, I don't know what to say or what to do. There is a ministry called the Ministry of Presence. That means you're just there. When something happens to someone, whether it's a sickness or a death or an illness or a problem or some discouraging thing, just be there. Just be there. You might say, well, I wouldn't know what to say. It doesn't matter what you say. In fact, it's better if you don't say anything. Just go be there. It's called the Ministry of Presence. Somebody in the hospital, you say, I don't know what to say. Just go up there and say, how you doing? I'll just sit down here with you a little bit. They'll never forget that. If you've lost a loved one, you don't remember what was necessarily said at that funeral, but you remember those people who were there. You remember those people who came and stood by you, even though they didn't say a word. Ministry of presence. You have an impact on people not only in this body, but in this community, whether they're believers or unbelievers. You have that possibility to touch their lives. Well, the foundation for ministry is the Word and the powers of the Holy Spirit and the worship of Jesus Christ. We see our culture and our community. It's a me-first culture and a community based around events. And so our goal is to gather and to scatter. Let me give you, do I have applications? I do. Okay, two applications, I think. Number one, let's understand the role of the church. Let's understand it. Keep the focus of the ministry in those key areas, which is the Word of God and the power of God and the worship of our God and Savior. Keep all that and understand what we're supposed to do. I didn't even know I had that. Oh. I'm glad we had that other one. I didn't have that written down, but that was really good. Let's do all. It's better than I thought it was. Anyway, let's do all that we can do as a local church to attract people, help them grow, and connect them and help them grow. Let's do it. If you think that this church is based on the Word of God, is equipping saints to do the ministry, that gathering and scattering is the key to do it, then these people out there who you know are missing out in the sense, bring them, call them, say, come with me. There are people out there who are looking for what we have. They just don't even know it. They don't even know what they're looking for. So help them. Is there anything else under that I'm going to miss? Yeah, keep our building and facilities neat and clean and attractive. Is there a B? Invite people to come to our services and events. Encourage fellow believers to be trained and equipped to serve. That's what we got to do. Is there a third thing? There's not. Okay, I have a third one on this. It says, let's touch lives as we gather and we scatter. Let me pray. Is the second bell ring already? It hadn't, has it? Let me pray, and then we'll just talk about questions and things. Heavenly Father, thanks for our local body. And The fact that we get to come together and worship and be trained and equipped so that we can scatter into this community with evangelism and service. And so may we do that. Lord, let's look for ways to reach this community for Christ. And let's do things in such a way that will be attractive as people come, that we might invite them, we might bring them, they might come, they might hear the truth of salvation, they might trust in Jesus Christ, they might grow and be trained and equipped to do the same thing. So Lord, thank you for this body. Help us, Lord, as we seek to make an impact, as we think about how we can impact our culture today for Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know there's a bell. Anybody got a question or a comment or anything before we break? Okay, now next week we're supposed to start, because this is the one that you'd put down. We're going to look at family relationships. We're going to talk about the role of the husband, the husband and the wife, and the daddy and the children, the big four. We'll see how that ties together. Okay, thanks.